Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the power of only one perfect divine life and what it looks like to stand in this truth. Listen as we explain divine truth as spirit, which is a demonstrable principle, not an abstract belief. In this show, we will discuss what Mary Baker Eddy means by the statement, "When the science of being is universally understood, every man will be his own physician, and truth will be the universal panacea." And that was from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 144, line 27. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and dispel the counterfeit self. Swami, the title of today's show is Rejecting the Imposter by Affirming Truth. I'd like to get your thoughts about what do we mean by this title? What should we learn from it?
Yeah, the term that we use in Kriya Yoga is avidya, or ignorance, mistaking the impermanent for the permanent, or the false for the true. And so how do we know which is which? Everything is a theory or a belief until it is proven scientifically, and this is what Mary Baker Eddy did for religion with Christian Science. Where is it today, though? Does it still work? What happened? To be good at anything, one must master the basics, and living is the same thing. So here we start with truth. Divine truth is all. It is purely spirit. And it is absolute goodness. Let's look at some of the promises of Jesus. Believe on me, and the works I do, you shall do, even greater works, and all that the Father has is yours. And this is why I really like the work of Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science, is because they're beyond theories and beliefs. They work on a principle, a demonstrable principle. And so what she says basically, if you cannot heal, then you do not understand yourself spiritually. So healing becomes your litmus test. And again, what I like about that is it reminds me of when a blacksmith makes a sword or a knife. They spend endless hours cutting, shaping, polishing, and tempering steel. But the moment of truth doesn't happen until what they call ringing it on the anvil. Because all of your work, really, you don't know until it is proven. And if you over-tempered that steel, then of course it'll break like glass, but if it's under-tempered, it will bend and it won't hold an edge. And the same with spiritual theories and concepts and beliefs. If we're not proving the presence of the divine creation, and that's why I really like this title, Rejecting the False and at the same time Affirming the Truth. But now what we have to figure out is which is which.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. How do we know that we're working from the point of view of the imposter or when we're working from the truth?
Well, one of the things I've been using and have been using for some time is all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine. We realize now that what's appearing in our material senses is not real. It's the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. So if you do not have divine qualities in your experience, then you can rest assured that you are not conscious of this divine truth.
Well, you had said earlier, to be good at anything, one must master the basics. And then you said living is the same thing. So what kind of basics do you think that we need to employ or learn how to do?
Well, the way that I did it was I started with what we consider to be essential needs. Even on a physical level, even though we know that the physical body is not real, again, it's a barometer. It's a way of checking, what am I conscious of? And for me, everything always has a procedure. And living would be based on your life-sustaining forces. How long can we live without it? And we can live weeks without food. We can live days without water. We can live minutes without air. But we can't live a millisecond without the life force, without the divine creative principle, the spiritual light that is animating each and every one of us. We expire immediately. And so thought is basically the channel through which this life force travels. And that's why we say how we think is what we become. And it gives you a starting point. It gives you steps that you can take and strategies you can employ. Because if you don't think right, then you've got a bad habit in your number one life-sustaining force. If you don't breathe right, you've got a bad habit in your number two life-sustaining force. So you make these adjustments, you make the corrections, and then again, you start to test what it is that you're doing.
Well, I know we were talking about divine truth as all. And then you had mentioned the promises from Jesus, like, believe on me and the works I do. You shall do greater works. All that the Father has is yours. So what do you think Jesus is telling us here? What does he mean by that?
The claims of Jesus where people were saying that he is the Son of God, oftentimes people think that Jesus had some sort of power that he could employ to effect changes. And that's really not the message of the Christ. That's not what Jesus came here to illuminate human consciousness with. He was basically here to tell us there's a better way of approaching our lives. And the way that he was performing the works he was doing, it wasn't because of some supernatural power that he had. It was because he understood a principle. And so he was here to reveal this truth to humanity. And it's very unfortunate we just miss the message of the Christ.
Well, I know in the Bible, it does seem like Jesus speaks to God or prays to God for gratitude and things like that. And that was part, I think, of how some of these miracles had happened. Now, that's something that we can all do, too. Do we do that through meditation and prayer?
Yeah, I think it would really depend on what you mean by those terms, because one of the things that I noticed in all her teaching, Mary Baker Eddy never uses the word meditate or meditation, but she does use the word prayer. And to the best of my understanding, for her, prayer is communion with the divine. It's union with the divine. And even though Joel Goldsmith and Herb Fitch, they use the term meditate quite often, we have to remember that meditation, by definition, is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. And yoga meaning union with the divine. There's a lot more to this than meets the eye. And so this is a lot of what we're starting to learn. Something as simple as neglect the false and accept the truth isn't quite as easy as it might sound. And it all comes down to the idea of oneness. I and the Father are one. And I have something here from Mary Baker Eddy that I thought I'd read from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. To enter into the heart of prayer, the door of the erring senses must be closed. lips must be mute and materialism silent. The man may have audience with spirit. The divine principle, love, which destroys all error. In order to pray aright, we must enter into the closet and shut the door. We must close the lips and silence the material senses. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longings, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. We must pray without ceasing. Such prayer is answered. Insofar as we put our desires into practice, the Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. Christians rejoice in secret beauty and bounty, hidden from the world, but known to God. The self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers, practice, not profession, understanding, not belief. Gain the ear and right hand of omnipresence, and they assuredly call down infinite blessings. Trustworthiness is the foundation of enlightened faith. Without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. A great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding. The highest prayer is not one of faith merely, it is demonstration. Such prayer heals sickness and must destroy sin and death. It distinguishes between truth that is sinless and the falsity of sinful sense. That was from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 16 and 17.
Swami, it seems like her description of prayer is a lot different than what the mainstream idea of prayer is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For me, anyway, I always thought prayer was asking God. And the more and more I understand this, we can't ask God for anything because God can't give us anything, primarily because God is not withholding anything. The divine creation is functioning right here and right now. And so this idea of prayer being communion with the divine becomes our way of tapping into the operation of the divine creative principle that is already here.
Well, she says constant prayers are self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection. What does she mean by self-forgetfulness?
Yeah, what Mary Baker Eddy is talking about here about self-forgetfulness, she's really talking about putting off the old man. She's talking about coming out of the false sense of self. She's not just talking about not being selfish. And the other thing is purity, purification here, purity of thought, and actually purging your thought of all the information that's coming through your material senses. And this is really more in sync with the Kriya Yoga that we were teaching. And then, of course, the affection. Like attracts like. And if we are identifying with ourselves materially, then we are attracted to things that are visible and tangible. If we identify with ourselves mentally, we are attracted to things that are invisible but tangible. But the idea here is to purify ourselves of these dualistic dependencies. And then, of course, we want to affirm the truth that I am spirit, and spirit is invisible and intangible. But it's really not until we accept ourselves to be spirit, formless, eternal, immortal, will we be able to have this affection for the invisible, intangible omnipresence that we are.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I think now we should start talking about maybe affirming the truth. And as Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth?
Yeah, I think to answer this question, we have something from Herb Fitch, a soundbite from Realization of Oneness, Class 6B. And I'll play it. And also, you can get these from mysticalprinciples.com to get the full audio files.
The light of the world that you are is not your form. It isn't your human personality. It isn't your human selfhood. The light of the world that you are is your identity in Christ. It is your spiritual self, and it has a spiritual body. And it has a life which knows no birth and no death. It has a life which has never known sickness or disease. It has a life which has never known age. In fact, your light life has never known any problem of any kind. It is the light of God. It is your present identity and has ever been your identity. And it will be your identity till the end of the world, at which time you will discover that the Christ you have discovered to be yourself is the only self you ever were.
Yeah, having a clear understanding of the truth of being, the perfection of being, the truth of who you really are becomes an important starting point for this because it's a principle. Remember, consciousness is experience. And also, divine truth in consciousness heals the sick, reforms sinners, raises the dead. But if we don't know this truth, if we don't know that we have a divine self, we have a spiritual body, an infinite spiritual body, then of course we're mistaking the false for the real. And that creates the interference pattern. If we're not proving I am conscious of this divine creative principle, then you really can't trust what you're doing.
Now, is that why Mary Baker Eddy says that a great sacrifice of material things must precede this advanced spiritual understanding? And it does sound like it's very advanced to me.
Yeah, and also, like what she said, we must deny sin and plead the allness of God. And as John told us, in order to worship, we must worship in spirit and in truth. And so a lot of this becomes important clues into how to do this. And as we educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, we begin to separate the sugar from the sand, the false from the real. What makes it easier is knowing the line of demarcation is the five corporeal sense mind, not to fear, love, or hate anything appearing in it. See, we have divine mind, and it only knows divine truth. And therefore, when a human thought appears, we know it didn't come from divine mind, and we treat it differently, as an intruder, a thief, an imposter. This way we keep it in front of us, so we don't get fooled by it and think it's real.
Swami, we know that God is all, so that is our truth, but how do we actually go about affirming the truth?
Yeah, I think the way in Christian Science they do it is where Mary Baker Eddy says, stand porter at the door of thought. Here is why we want to practice this exercise, and I'll read this from Mary Baker Eddy. Man is never sick, for mind is not sick, and matter cannot be. A false belief is both the tempter and the tempted, the sin and the sinner, the disease and its cause. It is well to be calm in sickness. To be hopeful is still better. But to understand that sickness is not real and that truth can destroy its seeming reality is best of all. For this understanding is the universal and perfect remedy. Science and Health, pages 392-24 and 393-29.
Swami, some listeners may be thinking, well, I have a condition and it certainly does seem real to me. How would you advise them to move forward and get past the discomfort maybe of whatever condition they might have?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, I mean, that's the work of the practitioner. To be able to rest in the truth, to be conscious of the divine creation, must resolve things into thoughts and exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. Now, the only way that this works is when you have the mind of Christ, when you are conscious of the divine creation. So it works both ways. You can use these experiences to test whether you know the truth or you have a belief in something other than the one perfect divine life.
Well, I see we have a soundbite here from Herb Fitch that might shed more light on our subject today.
Yeah, and you can get this too from mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
These errors are not due to any fault to be found in us, because in reality, we're not responsible for the evils which express themselves in us or through us. And he knows that's going to make us feel wonderful, so he comes right back with this. This sounds very comforting for the moment, but it becomes disturbing when I carry this to its logical conclusion, tell you that neither is your wife nor your husband responsible for any of these evils. Now we can't say, my husband who did this caused this, because your husband isn't there. The light of your being is there. And if you're not willing to travel that route, you're going to be stuck with the evils of this world. The light of your being is where you see a husband. The light of your being is where you see a wife or a child. Where are the evils? They're not in the light of your being. They're just hanging in the air as world mesmerism. The truth about you is that you, in your true identity, are the child of God. God has manifested its own life as your individual being. Now, that's the very chapter we've been working on in John. God is your individual life. God is the light of your being. The life which is God is your individual life. and it is eternal, it is immortal. Where are all these evils? In our false sense of self. Do you see how they're nothing more than just a garment we wear? The only place you exist is in your consciousness. The only place the world exists is in your consciousness. Everything in the world, including your human self, exists in your consciousness. And that consciousness, not living in I Christ, is a separated consciousness, and nothing in it is real. Nothing. Only when it is one with the Father, through I Christ in you, does your consciousness reveal real. And then you step out of the garment in which all of the evils are, because they're only part of the fabric of our mortal sense. You don't have to get rid of them. You have to be what you are. Your mind is actually that same mind which was in Christ Jesus. Many of us have been trying to attain the mind that was in Christ Jesus, but that is our mind. The moment you found yourself to be I Christ, what is your mind? The mind that was in Christ Jesus. But that is our mind now. Then what is this mind that tells us we're evil, or we're sinful, or we're guilty, or we're lacking? It's a false sense of mind. What is the mind that tells us we're defective in some way? It's the false sense of mind. Should you get rid of the defect or the mind that is projecting a defect? You see that? You don't get rid of the defect. You get rid of the mind that is projecting the defect. How do you get rid of it? It isn't your mind. You get rid of the mind that is projecting the defect by standing in your true being and rejecting all that is not your true self. There is no defect in I Christ, the light of the world, and that is your being. And therefore the false belief must be in a false sense of mind. Stand ye still. Face that false sense of mind with the knowledge that I am the I Christ of God. The mind of Christ is mine. In it there is no iniquity, no evil, no defect to be overcome. And let Christ do the rest.
I have a little cross-reference here, a reading from Miscellany by Mary Baker Eddy, page 242. You are scientifically correct in your statement about yourself. You can never demonstrate spirituality until you declare yourself to be immortal and understand that you are so. Christian Science is absolute. It is neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing towards it. It is at this point and must be practiced therefrom. Unless you fully perceive that you are the child of God, hence perfect, you have no principle to demonstrate and no rule for its demonstration. By this, I do not mean that mortals are the children of God. Far from it. In practicing Christian Science, you must state its principle correctly, or you forfeit your ability to demonstrate it. End of quote. Yeah, I see a lot of similarity between Infinite Way and Christian Science. Yeah, know the truth and rest in my peace. Stop trying, striving, struggling, seeking, or asking. I want always obscures I am. Rest in the knowledge of the divine creation. Watch it correct thought and improve experiences.
Well, we're going to break down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, click it, directs you to its catalog page. Click the Products tab, Online Classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Any final thoughts about today's program, Swami?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kri Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and dispel the counterfeit self. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.